I'm going to take the same exact starting point as I did Sunday before last. And I gave these scriptures and I gave this title to them. And I spent so much time building the foundation that I never one time mentioned the title, not the first time. When I got gone, I realized I never told them what I was teaching about. I know I spent a lot of time with Samson. I started with Ephesians. I'm going to do the same thing this morning with the starting point of Ephesians chapter number 3. I'm going to read verses number 20 and 21. These are familiar to us, so just read with me and just follow along and help grasp where our beginning point is. And I believe if you are gathered together in your hearts and in your spirits, that we'll find that God has something to speak directly to us through his word today. Ephesians, Paul was writing here to the church of Ephesus, and verse 20, we know this verse of scripture, familiar. He says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." That's good, isn't it? But then he puts the responsibility on us. It sounds like it's all God's doing to start with, doesn't it? That's where it feels like it's really good. It feels, the weight of all of this working is on God. But when you read that last phrase of verse 20, you find out he shifts immediately the responsibility right back on the believer. This is what he said. "According to the power," everybody say "to the power," "that worketh within us." Right here, us. Everybody say "me." That's what he was saying. He shifted the responsibility of the powerful happenings. And I want to tell you this. I'm careful when I use verbiage, because I believe that our words carry weight. And I think that they should mean something. I do not believe for one moment that it is supernatural happenings, because there's nothing natural about God. There are some spiritual happenings and there are some natural happenings. That first man was Adam. He was earthy because he was of the earth. But that next man, he was a quickening spirit. He was a living soul. There's a total different concept and application of how God works. If it was in the natural, it would be left entirely up to our ability. But it's not our ability. It's according to the power that worketh within us. There's a purpose that God has visited us with his spirit. There's a purpose in him dispensing his power to us. According to the book of Acts, you'll find this, and we know this is a very familiar passage of scripture to us as well. It says simply that you shall receive. That's it. That's the key word. You shall receive power after. After a particular happening. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But it doesn't leave you in the same vein of activity that it finds you. And it says you shall become. You shall be witnesses. John gave us this in St. John chapter 1. He said, those that received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. So this is really the responsibility of the believer. Now you wonder where I'm going with this, since I've already mentioned Samson. I'm going to mention Samson, and I'm going to talk about Gideon as well. Because I believe that God has quickened my spirit for a particular reason and for a particular purpose for this service today. Last time, or the last lesson before Easter, I spent the most of the time talking about Samson and how that he had this a struggle of himself. It is relative to us because we all struggle within ourselves, do we not? I mean, it's very, very seldom you find someone that doesn't have some inner struggles. We all have them. Every single one. It doesn't matter how spiritual we feel like we are today. Tomorrow we can wake up in a whole different train of thought and we can have struggles within ourselves. We can even get up tomorrow and not have struggles, but by tomorrow night, something happens in life. And I oftentimes remind myself, I don't have to remind God, but I do it in a prayer. God, I'm just a human. I'm just a man. You know this. You made me this way. I'm not doubting you, but I need to see a burning bush. Anybody ever got to the place in your walk of life that you felt like you just needed to see Aaron's rod bud at some point? I mean, really and truly, we're human, aren't we? We have those times, and that's what we find in the scriptures that are encapsulated in all of the writings for us to learn and be admonished by so that we can understand that just because we're human doesn't mean God doesn't work through us if we allow him to work through us. Human, the existence of our humanist type behavior, and I'm not being a humanitarian type, a tree hugger right now, okay? That's not what I am. If you are, okay, I'll pray for you. I'm not. But the existence of human behavior does not disqualify us from God. In fact, it actually shows us that we're just human. That's what Paul was writing, and he described himself in this manner. He said, I'll tell you what I struggle with, because when I would do good, evil's present. So in another place, he said, I die every day. Every single day, there is something that we must contact God about within ourselves. So if we look at those that I've just mentioned, Samson and Gideon, I'm going to deal with those two because of very specific purpose this morning. We're looking at some troubling times in Israel. In the book of Judges, you'll find these guys mentioned. The book of Judges was a time of revelation, if you will, for us to look back on it. It was a time of struggle. It was a time of, if you had this, the book of Judges in a graph, in a graph that like your heartbeat. You ever watched that on a little thing and you had a heart monitor on and you saw the little doom, doom, doom. You would see that kind of activity in the book of Judges. Up, down, up, down, up. That's just the way it would be. Because they would be serving God great because there'd be great, great revival moving in their minds. And all of a sudden, the Bible said they did evil in the sight of God. What was their evil doings? Well, I'll tell you where it stemmed from. It stemmed from unbelief. That was the foundation of it. They began to doubt the power of God. And when they did, they would embrace idolatry. Something that really had no power. And God would deliver them into the hand of, when it was Gideon's era of time, it was the hand of the Midianites. And every year, you should go home and read this. You've heard me mention this before, but by the grace of God, I'm going to tie these two together for us today. Every year at the time of harvest, the Midianites would come and destroy their harvest. And the people of God would, it was during this time that they found themselves in caves. And they dug tunnels. And they would hide out in the mountains. And they would get away just for their life's sake. They were trying to save their life. They couldn't save the harvest because Midianites were like, their camels were like grasshoppers. There was more than you could number. This happened for 7 years. They were in the hands of the Midianites. Midianites had let them go on about their planting and plowing and weeding. And Midianites didn't want any work. They didn't want to do the work. They just wanted the harvest. This sounds like life, doesn't it? About the time you think you're just going to get ahead all of a sudden, something happens. That month that you have that extra paycheck, you might know what I'm talking about. You count your paychecks and you know there's some months that have an extra week in it, doesn't it? And you think, hey, we're going to get ahead. We're going to get ahead this month. And something will come up and it will get your harvest. Midianites would do it every year for 7 years. Every year at harvest. And these people were struggling. They brought it on themselves, but they also had a solution to get out from under it. The Bible said, and they cried unto the Lord, and God sent them some deliverance. It didn't tell us how many of them cried unto God. It didn't tell us how many of them prayed. It didn't tell us how many of them made a different approach to God this year. It just said somebody cried. There was a stronghold that had been taking their harvest every year at harvest time, the Midianites. The word Midian means, from the Hebrew, it means to quarrel, to fuss, to fight. That literally what it means. Look it up and go study that out. About the time we think we're getting ahead, something will come up and somebody starts fussing about something, don't they? And it steals the harvest. Do you know how many souls have been lost because people couldn't get along? Do you know how many revivals have been cut short because people couldn't get along? The spirit of bickering, quarreling. Somebody said something I didn't like. And you know what it does? It steals the harvest. That's what it does. Midian, quarreling, fussing, fighting, discord would show up at the time of harvest. It wouldn't show up at the time of working, planting the field. Everybody's getting along good while everybody's tolling, but when it comes time to reap the harvest, a brawl would break out. And it's justified. I'm right, they're wrong, and they think they're right, and I'm wrong. We each justify it, but what happens because of that self-justification, it destroys a harvest. And it was a stronghold. It was a spirit. That's the reason that God had it included in the book of Judges, to show us that it wasn't just a group of people that was called the Midianites. It was a spirit of contention that had crept into the believers. Do you know it was coming into Israel? Do you know what Galatians, Paul wrote to Galatians in chapter 6? In the very last few verses, he starts talking to us about all this stuff, and then he says something about the church, who is the Israel of God. That's who we are. It's not a Jew that's one outwardly. It's a Jew that's one inwardly. We're born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, aren't we? That's the way, by this, we're the seed of Abraham. By faith, we become the Israel of God of this. And I can tell you, that was put in there for us to learn from. There is a spirit of brawling that will destroy a harvest. About the time that things are going to just break loose and everything's just lined up right. I want to tell you something. I couldn't tell you how many times that I've been on the precipice of knowing that I'm stepping into that promise that God's given. I couldn't tell you how many times you ever had your neighbors light up the grill and it start barbecuing something and you smell the smoke and it smells good and it gets you hungry. Well, I got one of those things on my back porch and I light that thing up on a consistent basis. I never thought anything about it. One of my neighbors come over one day and he said, "Everybody in the neighborhood knows you use that thing all the time. We all smell it. We wonder what you're cooking every time." I said, "Well, you should show up. You'll find out what I'm cooking." Well, they did. But I've been there. And you can smell it, but you, about the time you think you're just about to taste it, all of a sudden, the wind shifts, blows it somewhere else, and you're like, I thought I was stepping into this promise, but now then I'm not. I thought I was just going to start reaping the benefits of all of this stuff that God has said, and now then I'm not. You'll think this is a side note, but it's not a side note. This is tied to this. Do you know, just a few months back, we had a Supreme Court ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade. Anybody remember that? And what that done, it did not do away with abortion. It did away with it being a right protected by our federal government that said everybody could have one. It turned it back into the state's hands, and the states could say whether they wanted it in their state or not. That's basically all that it was, that it was wrong to start with for them to overstep the rights of each state anyway, but they overturned that and said, hey, we were wrong. This is the way it should be. This is in the hands of the states. So we had a lot of protest. People that, I'm just going to call them the way I see it, they were pro-murder. Okay? This is nothing new, all right? If you've read anything in the Word, you'll find that the worship of Baal was intertwined with the sacrifice of babies. You'll find this. It's all in there. All right? Study it out. But because of that, in under the guise of protest and to be sacrilegious, there was a lady that decided to start her own religion. And she did it. She wrote her manifesto, and they had their very first service just recently. And their worship is the worship of abortion. Oh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? I mean, oh, gracious, that just turns us all upside down. Can I just tell you something? Do you know what's been happening in the church for as long as the church has been around? Do you know how many babies have been aborted by the spirit of brawling and contention and bickering and fussing? Oh, I don't like this. And well, I don't. The music's too loud, or the organ got moved, or the piano's not where it was, or. I'm not supposed to be doing all that today. That's his job, isn't it? Somebody got my seat. Bless God, I guess I'll just go home. You see, it's a spirit that comes in. And what it does is it destroys a harvest. It aborts babies. It's a spiritual stronghold. And Gideon was off minding his own business, and he was trying to do a harvest and just trying to keep to himself off out in the backwoods out here up in the mountains of East Tennessee, and just had him a little spot over here, and an angel of the Lord come by and said, "Well, hello, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, the Lord be with thee." And do you know what he said? He said, "If the Lord be with me, then why are we not seeing all these miracles that our fathers told us about?" And he just went back to digging and trying to get his harvest. Where are they at? Do you know how many times I've asked the same thing? How many times have we asked the same thing? We may not have had a physical manifestation of an angel of the Lord come to us. We may have just had a word from the angel of God, the flame of fire that stood in a pulpit and told us the promise of God. And God sent his ministers as just ministering spirits to the church and give us a word. And all of a sudden we go home. Yeah, well, we've heard that before. Where's my miracle at? Or somebody else get theirs over here and we wonder where ours is. I know I'm not the only one. And Gideon said, "If this is the case, where's all the miracles? I'm struggling just like everybody else at harvest time. My paycheck don't last from week to week. I'm scrimping by and scrimping by. Where's all the miracles? I'm tired of this." Anybody ever get tired of just scrimping by? I'm being really serious and honest. Do you ever get tired of that? Gideon was tired of it. He was absolutely fed up with every year when it came time to get a harvest, it was getting taken by somebody else. The brawling spirit would show up. The fuss and the fight would begin. The angel looked at him and said, I got some news flash for you, sir. This ain't fake news. This is real news. This is in you." Long before Paul ever wrote Ephesians about the power that works in you, he said, "It's in you. It's in you." That's where they're hid at. Those miracles and that deliverance is hid in you, Gideon. What are you talking about? He said, "I'll tell you what." He goes on there and does all this little stuff, and the Lord says to him, "You're going to smite Midian as one man." He emphasized that it was in him. I'm going to tell you something. God began to deal with me early on this year about this church, and I am not overstepping this man right here. I am submitted to this man, this pastor. I am submitted to him no matter what. I appreciate this man. How many love our pastor? I appreciate him. I'm not overstepping this. God began to deal with me real early on this year, and he began to put something in my spirit. And in my spirit, he began to speak explosive revival. And I began to wonder, okay, about time we start getting excited about it, something comes along. And so I started praying. Instead of fussing about it, instead of wondering about it, instead of just keep on trying to kind of saying, "Well, it ain't going to happen." I got to praying. And I closed out the last lesson right before Easter with telling you that God had dealt with me about doing something when I got home that week. And for the last 2 weeks prior to that, that I had three wrecks each week that was happening directly in front of me. And one of the last one was within inches of taking my life. Literally. Within inches. Closest I've ever come to being completely wiped out without having a scratch. The closest I've ever come. And I was like, God, what is going on? And it wasn't God, because God had given me something. He had woken me in the very early hours of the morning, and he had told me what I needed to do. So I was doing it. It wasn't for anybody else. It was for me, and I know it. I had a job that I had to do by the directions of God. It was my job to do. Maybe it was for no one else, but it was for me. But you know what? I come home and I did that just like he asked me to do. And the next week he followed it up and said, you need to do this yet again. That's why 2 weeks in a row that I was almost not making it home with my life. But I did it. Do you know what I found out that I've read through the scriptures? It says, obedience is better than, yeah. I just had another visit from God, and I said, God, I did it. I did what you told me to do. Let me tell you why I did it. I'm going to tell you. Gideon was directed of God to do what he did. Let me tell you, it was not about the lamp. It was not about the breaking of the pitcher. It was about obedience. Because there's nothing about what God told him to do made any sense to victory, did it? He's going to battle with one sword. And 300 people. It all had to do with obedience. Every bit of it. Let me tell you, when we submit ourselves to God and we do the obedience, I'm going to tell you what happened. He went out there and he did what God told him to do. And he smote the Midianites as one man. And they were 3 days getting the spoils. Their complete and total economy changed because of obedience. I don't know. You probably don't feel what I feel right now. But I'm telling you, as much as God woke me up at 4:27 a few weeks back and told me what I needed to do, and I felt the presence of God and told me, give me very specific directions on what to do, guess what? I feel that same presence right now. It is not about making sense of what God tells us to do, because it came down to obedience. Do you know how Samson was there when and I'm quickly jumping to Samson now. We're moving on over into Judges, a few chapters. 12, 13, 14, 15, in that area, right there. You're going to find it. Samson goes and he began. The Bible talks about Samson, and this is how it describes him. He began to deliver Israel. That's all great, but it's sad at the same time, because he never finished it. He began. I'll tell you what it tells us about David later on. And David finished. He completely broke the hold that the Philistines had on Israel. This was years later. But let me tell you why this is important. Because of this right here. This was another stronghold. This was another spirit. Let me tell you what the Philistines made. Remember, we got brawling, quarreling, fussing, fighting, contention. That's what Midianites. Now we got Philistines coming. They didn't wait to harvest. They just coming anytime. They had an open door policy. Anytime they chose, they showed up. This means the Philistines' word, that word means simply this: to humiliate, to bow down. Anybody ever been embarrassed? Oh, gracious. How many's ever opened mouth and inserted foot? You just hope it's clean. Just every few days they were getting humiliated. Every few days they were getting hit with embarrassment. Every few days. It wasn't a set time. It's as strong as Samson was and as powerful as he was, the Philistines come along and said, "Hey, you go get him." His own brethren, thousands of them, went where he was at and said, "We don't have a choice, buddy. We know you're one of us, but we've been humiliated. We ain't got no way out. We got to deliver you to him." His only response was, "Just promise me you won't fall on me yourself. We won't kill you. We won't do it." This was that humiliation. This was another stronghold. He broke it. He started this process of breaking this spirit of humiliation. He did it. He really did. Let me tell you, God began to deal with me about two strongholds in this area. Two of them. And God began to deal with me about interceding for those strongholds to be broken. And he reminded me of a verse of scripture. I think it is very, very important for me to point out something. Yesterday I did a lesson in Purpose Institute. And I will be honest with you. I had no earthly idea that that lesson was going to coincide with this lesson today. Had none whatsoever. Until I began to read over that lesson and to refresh my memory on that lesson. And when I gave that lesson, I began to realize, God, you were putting this together for this reason right here. But God began to deal with me about two strongholds in this region. Not just this region, but it spreads out. And God began to tell me, "You cast them down." I said, "Yes, God, I will." And so I began to drive over this entire city. I drove over this entire city, all around the perimeter, and then all up and down the streets of the city. And I began, in the name of Jesus, to cast it down. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He did not give us the spirit of humiliation. Sometimes we feel like we're lesser. But God didn't make us the tail. He made us the head. He gave us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You wonder why that there's a harvest. And I'm not just talking about a soul's harvest. I'm talking about being a lender instead of the borrower. You hear me? Because when God began to deal with me about these things, he said, "You cast them down." Because the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. This is not just quoting a scripture, ladies and gentlemen. This is doing what God told Gideon to do. These miracles are in you. Why do you think God gave us the spirit? He did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. He gave us the ability to overcome. He invested in us as believers the power of heaven. And he said, your weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of, exactly, strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Bringing into captivity every thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Everything that is contrary to the power of God has to be under subjection to the Spirit of God. And we that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, are we not? I'm going to just tell you. I'm not finished. I'm just going to tell you. You better lengthen your tent cords. Y'all know what that means? Expand your horizons. Do you know what he'd done when he brought those people out of Egypt? He was getting the power. Israel, you have now changed your name from Jacob to Israel. For you now have power with twofold. Man and God. You know what he told us in the New Testament? He said, whatever you bind on earth. Don't you just love this stuff? Whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. He said, I'm going to stand behind it. And whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. I'm going to stand behind it. Why, Jacob? Why, Israel? Because you have just broken out of Egypt. Do you know what the word Egypt means? It simply is translated from the word to be limited. You've just taken the limits off of your power. That's what it means. And he says, now then, because of this, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And it'll be removed. Amen. Y'all believe what I'm telling you this morning? You can say unto the sycamore, I don't believe we need the faith to move mountains. I believe we need a faith to loose a tongue. I think we need faith to speak what we need to speak. We don't need to be humiliated and have our harvest destroyed because of contentiousness and backbiting and quarreling and brawling. No, we need to have unity. You know what God said about those that had unity and had it in their minds they was going to build a tower to heaven? He said, I better go down and confuse their language. Or they're going to do what they've set out to do. They're unified. I mean, that's what God said about unity. If two or three. Y'all know where I'm going, don't you? I'm just going right here where we're living. Because this is just us. This is not some conference somewhere. Or we're hearing some feel-good thing and get to going. No. This is just us. This is just home folk. This is it right here. He said, if any two agree as touching any one thing, it shall be. Let me speak this. I'm going to speak it. Can I have one person, when I speak it, I don't need you to agree beforehand, but when I speak it, I want one person under the sound of my voice to raise your hand and say, I'll agree with it, if you agree with it. If any two agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. I'm speaking explosive growth in this church, in this region. Oh, I got, okay. Let me go on. Let's go on a little bit further, okay? I'm going to tell you, I'm speaking major economic explosive growth, economic change for the positive and for the good in your life today. Somebody agree with me? By the unction of God, and it's why I'm standing here this day, right here. I'm telling you, I speak against the spirit of abortion. I speak against it. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I loose the birthing of explosive growth and explosive movements in our personal economies. I'm not talking about somebody over there getting blessed. I'm talking about you getting blessed. God, would you bless me that I may be able to bless others? We can't stop the flow of it, ladies and gentlemen. We can't just take it and say, oh, God's blessed me. Look what I can. No. When God blesses us, let us be free will givers. Amen? That's what I'm here for today. That's what I'm here for today. You believe that? Let's stand. My time's up. Can I go on? Yes, I could. No, I can't. Time's up. There's more where that came from. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for your word today. We're thankful for your power. We're thankful for your spirit of deliverance. Dear God, as we have bound the powers of hell in this place today, we have also loosed the powers of heaven in this place. God, we speak powerful miracles that have been bound up by humiliated individuals that have felt unworthy. But God, you have made them worthy by the blood of the Lamb and the word that you have given us. Let us rise and walk in a newness of life from this point forward. Help us, God, not to just smell the difference. Help us, oh God, to begin to eat of the difference today. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. If you receive it, give God a good hand clap and be ready for service at 11:00.